The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, the official travel agency for the Mickey Miles Podcast. They are the best in the travel business, and you certainly deserve the best when it comes to planning any vacation, be it Disney or otherwise. So get the best by visiting them at either MEI-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or you can click on their banner on MickeyMilesPodcast.com.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 80 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is, as always, not that today is any special than any other day, is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
It's not special when I'm on, Mike.
Well, it's special when you're not on, but...
Thanks.
Wait a minute. That didn't come out right.
So, it's Michelle, dehydrated Michelle, because I went, first of all, I was in San Antonio, which is fantastic, a beautiful, beautiful city. Didn't get to run a lot. Do you know why? Well, you know why, because I told you why.
I think we talked. You said it was too dark when you woke up in the morning, and I think we talked about, well, maybe San Antonio is on the westernmost part of that time zone, and if you're on the western part of any time zone, early morning is going to be dark.
Right, it was dark. I had all my running stuff ready, and I didn't check to see what time the sun rose, so it was about 6:30, and I had to go to a conference. But beautiful river walk there, a gorgeous place, really friendly people. But today, back in New Hampshire, it was like 100 degrees humidity on parts of my run, and it was so, so warm. So I've just been drinking all day long, and I know a lot of other people have said the same thing. So it's that time again. Hydrate. Okay, so I have a shout-out, and the shout-out is to somebody who posted on our Facebook page, and her name is Jennifer Marie, and she says that she registered for her first Disney race, which is a Princess Half, and her mom is doing the 5K, and she's using this as her excuse to go back to Walt Disney World. I don't think you're alone, Jennifer. I think a lot of people do that. So that's great. We hope to see you there. Mike, I also have some other news.
What's that?
Are you ready? Fasten your seatbelts. So we finally agreed on a date and a time for our meet for the Dumbo Double Dare out in Disneyland. Do you have your pencil ready?
Wait a minute.
You're going to like this one.
Okay, I'm ready.
Because it involves three of your favorite things, maybe four. Disneyland.
Write this down. Okay.
Running.
Yeah.
Me. And ice cream. So, yeah. Our meet is going to be on August 31st at 3 p.m., and that's going to be the day of the 10K, so after the 10K. And it's going to be at downtown Disneyland at the Haagen-Dazs. And we have to thank our wonderful friend Becky Mankin from MEI Travel for suggesting this. She is a West Coast girl and a Disneyland pro, and she suggested this might be a great place, and we agree. So the Haagen-Dazs is across from the Grand Californian, and again, that is on August 31st, 3 p.m., and that is in front of the Haagen-Dazs, and then there will be eventually going into the Haagen-Dazs, but I'm excited about that. How about you?
You know how you said this was an idea, a great idea from Becky?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can count the number of bad ideas that Becky has come up with by the number of antennas on my head. And guess what? I have no antennas on my head, so Becky always comes up with great ideas. Right. She's never had a bad idea. Never.
Well, we really hope people come and say hello and fuel up on ice cream before their next run, which is going to be the half marathon, or their only run if that's going to be the only one they do. But That should be fun. Are we ready?
It's question time again.
It is.
And we have several, and let's see how many we can get through in the course of this show. And we'll start off with Michelle with the first one.
Okay. Our first one is from our favorite NASA employee, our buddy Bernie Edwards, who is a Disney Moms panelist. I think he's retired now, but he is a super big supporter of the show and a good friend. And so he says, "Hi, Mike and Michelle. I enjoy listening to your recent episode of Picking Shoes. It was a timely episode for me as I need to get a new pair. I did a lot of research to find two places close to home with a good reputation for helping customers with running shoes. Both places analyzed me. One took a video and then played it back in slow motion. I'm writing because one said I definitely need a neutral type shoe, while the other insisted on a stability type shoe. Neither would budge and say there's even a little wiggle room for the other type. I know that Mike will say visit a third place and get another opinion. Boy, does he know you. But I haven't found a third place with a really good reputation yet. I've been training in a stability shoe to date. Do you suggest giving the neutral shoe a try? How critical is the difference in your opinion? I'm tempted to stay with the shoe I've been training with and just buy a new pair. After my race, my Taro Terra 10 miler, I could, quote unquote, experiment. Any advice?" From Bernie. What a great question, Bernie. Thank you. Mike, what do you think?
You know, I started to answer Bernie in an email. I said, well, let's see what the podcast comes up with. And one of the things, Bernie, that I've always said is that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you have had no issues with your knees, ankles, feet on the shoe that you've been running in, then don't change it. I know Bernie. Bernie is my size. And I think when people of our size, I mean, we're not big, but we're, you know, big. And when they see us walking into a running store, I think the first thing they think is cushioning. And they don't think about stability. For me, I need a shoe that's very stable. So I stick with what I have. And the thing is, Bernie, if you're having no problems and you feel okay, then whatever shoe you have selected seems to be working for you. If you want to experiment, just be very, very careful. But again, if and I'm not sure what a neutral shoe, Michelle, I've never heard, unless a neutral shoe is supposed to be a little bit of this and a little bit of a little bit of stability, a little bit of cushioning. I do know that I've talked with people in running stores and they've said, well, if you compromise for both, then you're not really getting the most out of both. So you really need to decide if it's one or the other. And it sounds like Bernie is doing well with his, I believe he has a stability shoe. I think he's been training in a stability type shoe. I'd stick with it.
Mike, I believe that it has nothing to do with cushioning. As I look on the Nike running shoe website, it talks about pronation, overpronation, or supination. And I think the other thing that your foot could be is neutral, which is pretty much what I've been told that I am. So I agree 100% with you, Mike. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm glad that, Bernie, that you went to a running store. But here's another thing, too. If you feel that there's an issue, you can, if you go to any good running store, they will let you take the shoe and take it out for a spin for a week or so, or, you know, a certain number of miles. So I don't see any reason why not if you feel that you could find a shoe that's a little bit better for you. There is a danger, and I did this. Somebody told me that I was pronating a little bit at one of the running stores that I went to, and I overdid it with the shoe, and I ended up having an Achilles problem. So you have to be careful, but I think that was one of the things that I know that I came away with the episode of picking running shoes, is that if you got something good going, there's no need to change it. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, you know me, Michelle. I'm a creature of habit, and if things are working well, then I don't want to tease anything. I don't want to do anything that might upset the apple cart. And if my apple cart is fine, then I'm not going to do anything to spill an apple.
But I think this raises a good point, because we have talked about the importance of going to a running store, and just as is the case with any profession, sometimes the running store people get it wrong too. And so I think you have to go with what your gut is telling you, and if you're feeling like you're okay, you should stay where you are. Sometimes the running stores aren't 100% right. I think I would advocate always trying to go to talk to somebody about what your running habits are, but...
You know, the other thing, and I've always thought that this was the case, that if you don't go to a running store at first and you say, well, I'm going to start a running program, I'm going to look for some shoes, and okay, these feel pretty good, they're about the right price, and I'm going to work with these. And things seem to go well. And what happens is that your body adjusts to those shoes because it has never adjusted to any other shoes. So your body sometimes will settle on what shoes you have. And, you know, if that happens, that happens. So we will go on to the next question. And it comes from Sue Kaisenweather, who is asking about the possibility. She asks if there's a 10K that will be added to the Tinkerbell Half at the Disneyland Resort in January. She has not heard anything about a challenge, and she hasn't seen anything official, so she's wondering if there will be a 10K added to the Tinkerbell Half for 2014. I haven't seen anything, Michelle. I don't know that that means that there won't be one. With everything seemingly being given a 10K, it's not out of the possibility that will be added.
I haven't seen anything either. That would be fantastic, and that's sort of what Disney seems to be doing, is adding these 10Ks, which I think would be great. I think it would get more people into running. And we already have the one at the Dumbo Double Dare, and that filled up so quickly that to me it would make sense. Mike?
My thought is that with the registration for the Tinkerbell Half sometime happening July 9th, I believe, we would hear something probably right around then, and we might hear it sometime over the next 2 weeks. I don't think that an announcement would be made after registration opens. I think that the announcement would be made prior to registration, so people would be given a choice. So let's see what happens over the next 2 weeks, Sue, and we'll see what happens.
The next question we have is from Denise Trowicki. And she has a really easy one. We actually kind of already answered this one at the beginning of the show. It is Mickey Miles going to be at Disneyland for the half marathon weekend? And since Mickey Miles is you and I, Mike, how do we answer that one?
Yes, ice cream. Yes, ice cream.
Ice cream and running. And the other thing, too, is it's not just Mike and I. We're hoping we can convince Becky Mankin to come. I think she said she will try to stop by. And we know that there are a lot of other listeners and people who have been on the podcast who will be around that weekend. So you'll get to meet us and hopefully lots of other people, too. We'd love to meet you.
Yep. That was an easy question.
Yeah. I'm actually going to put that on our Facebook page, too, so the event will be there. You can let us know if you're going, Denise. Okay?
The next question comes from Mary Van Hooser, who wants to know, I'll read the question. She says, "Hi, guys. I just recently found your podcast, and I am enjoying it very much. After completing my first Goofy Challenge and the 5K in January, I went ahead and signed up for Dopey in 2014. With the heat during Goofy, my running partner and I were so grateful to find a Galloway Pace group during the marathon last year. The run, walk, run intervals truly saved our marathon. I know we wouldn't have finished without that group. The Pace had told us they were just testing Galloway Pace groups and that they may not be back for 2014. I am really hoping they will be available for the Dopey. Have you guys heard anything about whether Galloway run, walk, run pacers will be helping us dopey runners. Or do you know who we could contact to encourage Disney to add them? I don't know if it's an official thing, or I don't know if the Galloway Pace groups are official or unofficial, as far as Run Disney is concerned. There are constant, I've seen many different pace groups at many of the races. I don't know if the pace groups that would be there are what I call dopey. I mean, they would be, I'm sure there are pace groups for the half marathon and for the marathon. So
well,
I think in those separate races.
Usually, yeah. Mike, it's the cliff pacers, right?
From, yep. Yeah, from Cliff. Exactly.
And they don't do a run, walk, run. And I know that last year there was talk about maybe unofficial Galloway people being there. You had to be maybe with a Galloway group in Orlando. However, I think that we're going to have Jeff Galloway on very soon, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And my thought is that it's quite possible that Run Disney may not want Galloway pace group, and I'll tell you why. Think of it this way, Michelle. Think of about 20 or 30 people all running together and then all of a sudden stopping and walking.
Ooh, I never thought of that. Well, I think that would be a great question to ask Jeff.
Yeah, we'll check with Jeff, and that might be an issue. I mean, you have many people who will do the Galloway run, walk, run method, but they're spread out. They're like, you know, strewn. There's not large groups all together, so that would cause some very, very serious issues. Excuse me. Think of it this way, Michelle. You know, when you go through the Magic Kingdom and you come out and you're going through Cone Alley, imagine if there were a large group of people and all of a sudden they stopped and they started walking. That would really make some people think about walking outside or running outside the alley, the cones, or possibly on the grass. So
yeah, there may have to be another protocol. But I mean, there are lots of people stopping and starting already in different places. So maybe it would be more organized. I'm just trying to be the devil's advocate. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, though, I agree, Michelle. There's going to be tons of people that will be doing the Galloway method, but this particular group, they'll all stop at the same time. That's the difference. The difference is that everybody's got their own little thing or whatever, but the large pace groups, and I've seen as many as 30 people, 40 people running in a pace group, they'll all stop at the same time, and I think that would be the issue.
Well, I think that would be a terrific question for us to put on our list of questions for Jeff Galloway when we talk to him soon.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so the next question actually isn't a question. It is some little bit of extra information, and it is from podcast buddy Chris Trawick, and he says, today's episode had a question I think I can provide some useful add-on information about. To gauge an estimated finish time for longer or shorter race distance than what you've already completed, go to Running Calculator at www.mcmillanrunning.com. Enter a recent time and a distance that you've completed, and it will provide you a scientifically derived estimate for all other major race distances. I've used it for years, and it's been within a minute of perfect timing. Also, for the times I've run the Goofy Challenge, the ASI photo location always provided a Donald Half Marathon medal to complete your set for the photo. No need to bring your own. Great show, guys. So, you know what, Chris? Thank you so much. I forgot I'd use this mcmillanrunning.com. I think you have, Mike, too. And it's a great resource. And he was saying, I have known people who have brought their medals, but they're saying, Chris is saying, and also I think Helen Dunn said on our Facebook page, that they will provide you with nice, clean, unsweaty medals for you to at the end of the Goofy Challenge, so that you don't have to bring your own medals if you want a complete medal set for that picture. Mike?
You know what I'm going to do, Michelle? I ran a 10K today, 6.2 miles, and I'm planning to run. I would like to try to run a 12.4 run tomorrow, and We'll see, or I'll figure out. And I'll take a look at this MacmillanRunning.com running calculator, and I'll see how close it comes to how I'll do. I guess the thing would be that one of the issues would be, let's say, and we've all been running this week in very hot and humid weather. So if you're running 10K in hot and humid weather in July or June, and you're going to run a half marathon in January, and the condition's going to be better, there might be quite a difference in what the calculator says. But I'm going to try it. We want to thank Chris for giving us that information.
Yeah, Chris is super supportive of the show. Thank you, Chris.
Next question should be something that Michelle should be asking, but I will ask it anyways.
Oh no, I think this is actually like Chris did. It's providing a little bit more information to answer we gave.
That's right, and it comes from Marianne Riley Hipple, and Marianne says that she was listening to episode 76, and one of the I think it was Ann Senior. Asked about a vegetarian meal at the Magic Kingdom. So she says that her favorite thing to do is to get a baked potato from the fruit stand next to the Hall of Presidents and then go into the Columbia Harbor House and buy a bowl of vegetarian chili. Oh, that's good. I pour the chili over the baked potato, then douse with Tabasco sauce. Yum.
Wow, that's a lot of work for your food. The vegetarians are running all around putting their food together. I didn't know that you could get a baked potato at the fruit stand. Did you? A baked potato?
Next time I go to the Magic Kingdom, I'm going to try this.
Wow, that's very cool. I like that. Thank you.
So we're assuming that's vegetarian chili, I guess.
Hmm? Well, she says it's vegetarian chili. Yep. Yeah, tell you if it is. They said I don't know. I've never had it seems like when I'm there, I'm so warm, I don't usually get vegetarian. I don't get chili. I don't get hot foods. Usually more salads.
But that would be good during the Walt Disney World marathon weekend.
Oh, yeah. With the carbohydrates and the protein.
Saturday.
The protein with the beans.
But of course, that would be early afternoon because we both know that you have to go to bed early.
That's
Saturday night.
That's a great tip.
Yeah.
Nice. Keep them coming. All right. The next question is from Carolyn Kleppenbrow. And she says, sweat in my eyes is killing my afternoon summer runs. I'd love to change my location or my time of day, but this is my only option. Suggestions? Ooh, Mike, can I jump in?
Go for it.
I probably have... probably arguably the biggest collection of sweaty bands of anybody I know. I love sweaty bands. They're a little bit on the expensive side. They can run from $15 to $18, but they work. I'll tell you, they work. And I was wearing one today. I didn't wear a hat. I was running when it was cloudy and humid, but it was so, so humid and I was just drenched and I had a sweaty band on and I didn't get any sweat in my eyes. And you can go to sweatybands.com to order them. They have them now at my local running store and they also have them at Dick's Sporting Goods. But the best selection is if you go to the expo and get them because they have hundreds and hundreds of them or online. And they often have sales and things like that. And Mike, guess what? I'm running the 4th of July 5K in my town. It's called the Revolutionary Run, and I ordered a special sweaty band with stars on it. Yeah, that's how I roll. I know I'll be sweat-free. Any other suggestions that I missed, Mike?
No, I would have thought that, too. I think that the band right above your eyebrows would do the trick, catch all the perspiration that's coming down.
Yeah, or just a hat. What are the names of the hats that we have that they have sort of like a terry cloth band? Do you know?
No.
I'm not sure, but there's some hats like that that you can get too. But let's see how that goes, Carolyn. All right. Next question, Mike?
Next question is a question from Pamela Potter Frost. And she says, What would Jeff Galloway do? My back is acting up on me and went out in the middle of my easy walk run yesterday, which means I am losing out on my 8-mile training run today and will probably have to take 7 to 10 days off of running. How should I resume my training plan for the Dumbo Double Dare next weekend? Do you want to start off on this one, Michelle, or would you like me to?
I did the sweaty band one. It's all yours.
Well, again, this is where we let me just pull out the caveat.
Are you sure that wasn't your list of meets that you're going to?
Caveat. Okay. And the caveat says, neither Michelle nor I are professional trainers, yeah, not doctors. So, like everyone else, we are sometimes finding ourselves doing all kinds of research to find questions, to find answers to questions. I did some research on this, and I went to a site that I like to mention. It's called Runners Connect, runnersconnect.net. And it talks about the research behind lower back pain in runners. And I'm not sure if this is what I'm not sure if this is what's been bothering Pamela, but sometimes there are things mentioned that you can do to sort of prevent things from happening, preventative medicine or whatever. I would suggest going to that site. It's called runnersconnect.net, and it might tell you what to do. It may give you some exercises to do. I would encourage you, Pamela, to, if it's really, really bad, obviously to see your doctor, because it could be something that's been just hanging around the corner waiting for the right time to spring on you, and you don't want to ignore it and train all summer with that nagging back issue, because it may turn out to be something much worse. Michelle? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to ask Michelle to get off mute one more time.
I think that's a great suggestion, Mike. I think what I would like to add is that I think one of her worries is that she is going to have to take time. It sounds like she's experienced this problem before, and she has to take 10 days off from running. And so what to do after you take 10 days off from running? And I certainly wouldn't go back to your 8 miles after taking 10 days off from running. What I would do if I were you is I would go out for your first day back, go out for about a little 3-mile run, see how you feel, walk, run, and then build up gradually. If you feel like that is okay, then build up gradually. You have plenty of time, Pamela, to get back to your to get back to the Dumbo Double Dare. We got two whole months now. And if you're already up to 8 miles, I don't think that'll be a problem. But I certainly wouldn't push yourself to go back to 8 miles as soon as you have that back issue. Mike, I think you have something else to say.
I just want to reinforce something I just noticed on the Runners Connect page. It says, most cases of low back pain are a result of a muscle or a ligament strain. It's not structural damage to the spine itself. So it says the best advice if you have back pain is to listen to your body, moving back into running as soon as you can. Do it without pain. Without pain, that's the key phrase there. And look at other factors in your life that could be causing your back pain. So Pamela, good luck with that, and let us know how you make out.
I think that's going to do it today, Mike, for questions.
Yeah, I think that's about it. We had some good questions. I think that what's kind of interesting when we do these question shows, Michelle, is that we're not getting the same questions. And I think that's really important that we get questions that are fresh, that are new, that are going to be adding more information out there, and hoping, because those questions have us doing research, and it helps us as well as all our listeners. So we appreciate all the questions, and keep those cards and letters coming. Michelle, before we go, do we want to mention one more time about the Mickey Mouse podcast meet that we plan to have at the Disneyland Resort during the Dumbo Double Dare Challenge weekend?
Yes. So there's actually an event page up on the Mickey Miles Podcast Facebook page for people to RSVP if they want to. And the meet will be at the Häagen-Dazs, which is across from the Grand Californian in Disneyland. So you don't have to pay separate park admission. And it's going to be 3 p.m. and it's going to be Saturday, August 31st. And Mike, you'll be there?
I hope so.
I'll be there. Ice Cream will be there. And hopefully lots of our friends will join us. And if not, it'll just be you and I eating ice cream.
I can handle that.
So pop on the page. Let us know if you're going to be there. We'd love to see you.
With that, we're going to say that once more, that the Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by our friends at MEI Travel and Mouse Ring Travel. Why do we call them our friends? Because when you book with MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, it's pretty much like you're booking with close friends, because they treat you like close friends and they want you to have a worry-free, trouble-free vacation. They are the official vacation planners for the Mickey Mouse Podcast. Give them a try at MEI-travel.com and mousefantravel.com. And of course, you can always click on their banner on another site that's called MickeyMilesPodcast.com. So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, my name is Mike Scopa. We'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.